But as far as possible, we should try to put into practice the Mustahab Act. And what is that Mustahab Act? That Mustahab Act is to partake of the meat of the animal as the first thing that we eat. So we don't have anything to eat before they eat Salah, unlike Eid al-Fitr. And after they eat Salah, we should try at best to eat some part of the animal that is slaughtered. Now the easy way to practice this is to eat the liver, the kalehi of the animal. Because that's very quick to take out and to clean, and you don't really need to do much, and to cook it, it cooks very, very fast. So we should try and put this into practice. And there are many people who are determined, alhamdulillah, they're able to put this into practice, and they follow this mustahab as well. Allah give us all tawfiq to try to bring alive these mustahab actions. Now, regarding the takbir at tashriq, some masail regarding takbir at tashriq. Takbir at tashriq, as we know, is these words, La Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, wa lillahi alhamd. These are the words of takbir at tashriq. The origins of these words, when Ibrahim alayhi salam was trying to cut Ismail alayhi salam's throat and Allah Ta'ala made the knife blunt, the malaika were coming down with the ram from heaven and they were afraid that maybe Ibrahim alayhi salam will not stop in time. So to draw the attention of Ibrahim alayhi salam, they all started reading the takbir loudly, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ibrahim alayhi salam looked up and he saw them coming with the ram, so he realized that this was a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he proclaimed the tawheed of Allah Ta'ala, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. And Ismail alayhi salam realized what is happening, so he recited Allahu Akbar, walillahi alhamd. Thanks and praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we were successful in our exam or in our test before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the origin of these words of takbir and tashriq. And when we read these words, try to keep this scenario in front of us so we can read it with extra fervor and feeling. Now, the takbir and tashriq to recite is wajib upon everyone. Male, female, musafir, muqeem, reading in jamaat, reading individually, it is wajib to recite this takbir. And this takbir is to be recited immediately after every farz salah. And this takbir is to be recited for the duration of 23 namazes, starting from the 9th of Zilhijjah, the Fajr, till the 13th of Zilhijjah, the Asr. So that's 4 days plus 3 namazes, all in all, total of 23 namazes. And to recite this takbir audibly, slightly loudly, not so softly, that for males, that you cannot hear the takbir. Males should try and recite the takbir audibly. Females will recite the takbir softly. And if a person forgot to read the takbir after the farz salah, then if you remembered immediately after the farz salah, a minute or two before you got up or you went away or you started speaking to anyone, you can read it quickly. But the moment you got involved in some other activity, the moment, the time for the takbir at the tashriq is gone. Now you cannot recompensate for that. The only thing to do is to make istighfar and tawbah for having missed the wajib or the obligation of reading the takbir at tashriq. So by repeating these masalas and speaking about it over and over, we will remind ourselves and then inshallah hopefully we will not forget these masail. So this was as far as the masalas of takbir at tashriq was concerned. Now regarding some of the masail upon whom qurbani is compulsory and wajib. Qurbani is compulsory and wajib upon every Muslim who is of course first of all of sane mind. No qurbani is compulsory upon somebody who is insane. Then somebody who has reached the age of puberty. Qurbani is not compulsory upon children no matter how much of money they got. But the moment a child reaches the age of puberty, now he is no more a child, he is an adolescent or an adult. Now qurbani becomes compulsory upon him, male or female. And nowadays children become baligh quite young in age, 10 years, 11 years, 12 years. Now they got money saved up and so on, qurbani is compulsory upon them. If they don't, their parents don't do it, they will have to do the qurbani. If they don't do the qurbani, they are missing out a wajib obligation for which there will be accountability on the day of Qiyamah. So children should also know this masala, that when we reach that particular age, like salah, fasting, zakat, hajj, and other laws of Islam become compulsory, qurbani also becomes compulsory. And one condition is a person must be muqeem. Qurban is not compulsory upon a musafir. So if a person is on safar, he doesn't have to do qurbani. Although, if a person does qurbani when he's a musafir, and it's not compulsory upon him, he will get a lot of reward. And it's encouraged for him to do the qurbani. But it's not compulsory. But a person who is muqeem, he has to do the qurbani. That is, if you stay 15 days or more in any place, now many hajis, qurbani is compulsory upon them. They're not musafir anymore. Because they're staying 15 days and more in Makkah Mukarramah at the time of Hajj. Unless you're going last minute, that's different. But you're staying 15 days or more, qurbani is wajib on the hajis. Now many hajis get lose sight of this masala, that there are two animals to be slaughtered. One is dam, the animal of dam, dam shukriya. That is separate from the udhiya, the qurbani animal. Qurbani is anywhere in the world, Makkah and Medina, anywhere in the world. And dam is only for the haji. So the haji has to do sacrifice of two animals. One animal of dam and one animal of qurbani. If he doesn't do it in Makkah Sharif, then he has to make sure that it is done back at home or at any other part in the world. But he has to ensure that the qurbani is also done if he's not a musafir. And of course, a person who has in excess of nisab wealth, over and above the basic essentials of life, if you got more than nisab wealth, then qurban is wajib. Now when we say over and above the basic necessities of life, it means that all the things that are luxury items and superfluous and extra things in the house of a person. For example, you only need two beds in the house, but you got beds in every bedroom. Now those beds are extra, additional to your requirements. Or you have, for example, one house you're living in and you've got two, three houses as investment. Now that is over and above your requirement. Now, don't confuse this with the masala of zakat. Zakat masala is different from the masala of qurbani. There's no zakat on property. But if you own that property, then qurbani is compulsory because it is over and above your basic needs. People have televisions and VCRs and electronic equipment and so many extra things at home which are not real necessities of life. Person may be having an additional car which is not a necessity of life. Then if you take the value of that and it is more than nisab, which is 3,000 some odd rand, then qurbani will become compulsory upon such person. Ladies who have jewelry over and above the value of nisab, qurbani will be compulsory upon them as well, if they can afford to buy the animal. That means they have over and above the nisab that much with which they can purchase the animal, qurbani will become compulsory upon them. So this is an important masala that we need to remember. If a person, qurbani was compulsory upon him or her, and for some reason they didn't know the masala and they didn't do the qurbani for 1, 2, 3, 4, several years, now you realize. Now what do you do? You should calculate how many years you didn't do qurbani. Then the year in which you decide now, you take the average price of the animal for that year, the current year, and you take that amount of money and give it away to the poor people in lieu of every animal of qurbani which you didn't do over the subsequent or the previous years. That is a requirement. The qurbani will become compulsory upon a musafir if he came home in the 3 days of Eid al-Adha, Ayyam al-Nahar as it is called. He was on safar on the 10th, the day of Eid al-Adha. But then he came on the 11th, or he came before Maghrib of the 12th, qurbani will become compulsory upon him, because now he's no more musafir, he's a muqim. So he has to arrange for that qurbani. If a person was a child and became baligh on these days, 11th or 12th, that person will also have to do qurbani. If a person was a non-Muslim and accepted Islam on the day after Qurbani, before the Maghrib of the 12th of Dhul-Hijjah, he will also have to do Qurbani if the other conditions are found. The days of Qurbani, as we all know, is the 10th, 11th and 12th of Dhul-Hijjah till the time of Maghrib. Now, the time of Qurbani, when does the time of Qurbani start off? In those places where there's no Eid Salah, like the farms and villages, far away, remote places, Qurbani starts off from Subah Sadiq of the 10th of Dhul-Hijjah, right till Maghrib of the 12th of Dhul-Hijjah. But in those places where Eid Salah is performed, like the towns and cities, then you are only allowed to do Qurbani after the Eid Salah is completed. If anyone does Qurbani in a city or town before the Eid Salah is completed, that Qurbani will not be counted, it will have to be repeated. So only after, now you have, say for example in Durban, there are several places where Eid Salah takes place, in the different Eidgahs. Now which Eidgah time will we take? Some places they have very early, some places a bit later. So which Salah time we will take into consideration to do the Qurbani? Not known. It won't be where you read your Eid Salah. There is the latitude in this Masla, wherever the first namaz was performed. Once the first namaz was performed in any town or city, then it becomes permissible to do Qurbani after that. So for example, say in Shell Cross, because I know they have the Eid Salah very early there, compared to other places. If they do the Eid Salah there, and they complete it with the Eid Salah, but in your own local masjid, the Eid Salah is about an hour later. Now, it is permissible for you, as soon as you got message that Eid Salah is over in a particular part of the city, you can immediately do your Qurbani. Sometimes you could do the Qurbani even before you went for your Eid Salah technically. But generally people, because they have the Eid Salah early for the same reason, to make it easy for the people to do Qurbani in Eid al-Adha, so we complete our Eid Salah and so on, and then we go and do our Qurbani. And the people in the town, in the farms, they can start from the very morning and they can do their Qurbani very early in the morning. That is as far as the time of Qurbani is concerned. It is also permissible to do Qurbani at night. The night after the day of Eid, the other night after that, it is permissible. If there's proper lighting and so on, there is no problem whatsoever. If there's no proper lighting, then it is makruh, because then you might not slaughter the animal properly. But today we know that there's floodlights and all kinds of facilities available, so it can be done 24 hours without any problem. Now we talk about the animal of Qurbani. What type of animals are permissible? It is permissible to cut a goat, sheep, cow, bull, buffalo or camel. All these animals are permissible for the purpose of Qurbani. You can't cut a chicken for Qurbani, so don't ask me masalas relating to chicken. I'll chicken out on that. We're only going to talk about the animals of Qurbani. We're talking about these animals are the animals for Qurbani and they are permissible. Now when it comes to a goat, let's start with the sheep. A sheep and goat, 1 year of age is the minimum age in which we can do Qurbani. But there's one exception as far as the sheep is concerned. As far as the sheep is concerned, if it is 6 months and above, and it is quite healthy and big, and the proof of that is if you put it amongst the sheep that are 1 year old, then it looks like a 1 year old sheep, you can do Qurbani of that sheep. But if it is so small that it doesn't really look like a 1 year old sheep, even if it is above six months of age, you can't do Qurbani of that sheep. And if it is very healthy, but it is even 1 day less than 6 months, it's not permissible to do the Qurbani. So you must be very careful that we select the right age of animal. Now how are we going to know the age of the animal? The animal doesn't come with a birth certificate and, you know, tells you exactly what day it was born and so on. But people with experience, they can see. They know exactly. They look at the teeth of the animal, they see the size of the animal, and they have a good estimation. Or if the farmer tells you, and you have no reason to disbelieve the farmer, you can take his word and you can accept it that this is the age of the animal. Cows, buffalo, bull, ox, they must be at least 2 years of age. And camels must be at least 5 years of age. Anything below that will not be permissible for the purposes of qurbani. And the age now, when we're looking at, is Islamic age. That is, Islamically. Because I had a very strange question was posed to me very recently, one brother, mashallah, after he did his qurbani last year, or the previous year, he bred a cow. Now, for the qurbani of this year. And he bred the cow a week or so before Bakri Eid. Now, he wanted to find out whether it is permissible for him to slaughter this animal for qurbani this year, because he was calculating on the English calendar. Now, if you calculate on the English calendar, it will be less than 2 years. But if you calculate on the Islamic calendar, it will be a little bit over 2 years. So it was permissible for him to slaughter that animal. And we gave him permission that he could go ahead and slaughter the animal without a problem. So it's the Islamic age of the animal that is taken into consideration. Just keep that in mind. Now, as far as these big animals are concerned, a bull, buffalo, camel, ox, 7 chairs are permissible as far as these big animals are concerned. 7 people can share in them. But the small animals, the goat and the sheep, only 1 person can share in them. If an animal has been castrated, the qurbani of that animal is permissible. In fact, it is desirable because they say the meat is better of a castrated animal. If a person tries to make more than 7 partners in a big animal, then the qurbani of none of those people will be accepted. Similarly, if a person has a partner in a big animal, 7 shares in a cow or so, and 1 person out of those 7 people didn't have the intention of qurbani, but he made intention just of the meat, or he was a butcher, he made intention of taking that portion of his meat and selling it, the qurbani of none of those people will be accepted. However, if a person made intention of any other rewarding act, for example of aqiqah, of walima, of sadaqah, or so on, then that qurbani will be acceptable. The following animals cannot be slaughtered for the purpose of qurbani. An animal that is blind, or an animal that has got only 1 eye, or an animal that has lost 1/3 of its eyesight. Now again, the question might arise, how we will know whether the animal, are we going to take it to the optician, put it in the chair of the optician, and the optician is going to give it some kind of a test